This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by Stephanie Watts. Now, thanks for speaking with us, even though you're at a pretty amazing event right now with a scotch tasting.
Yes, it's great.
So just to jump in, could you tell us just a bit about yourself and why you decided to run for council in this election?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm actually a master's in environmental science at the University of Lethbridge right now, and I'm specifically studying Lethbridge transit, which if you're from Lethbridge, you know, is a bit of a big issue. Mm-hmm. So the Lethbridge transit master plan, they've been working on it for the last couple of years, and it almost made it to city council recently, and it completely missed pretty much all the benchmarks that it was supposed to hit. So that kind of motivated me to run, to give a platform of something that's really desperately needed within our city is proper transit. Mm-hmm. And we need people on council who understand the background and the data and analysis of the data so that when reports come forward and stuff, we know whether or not we should be asking the questions. So, like, I really had concerns about where some of these numbers were coming from because there was no background given to where the numbers were coming from, and they didn't line up with the numbers that I knew that we had and stuff from working with the data for the last 3 years. And it was concerning. So I figured, you know what, let's run. And then also we need younger demographic on city council, and we also need more women. And it just, there was all these other amazing candidates running as well. And it's really a numbers game when it comes down to it, right? Mm-hmm. The more diversity and options you have running, the more likely you'll have a more well-rounded city council.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned proper transit. Now I'm just like, I'm not a master's student in Lethbridge transit, so I'm not really sure what makes proper transit. I know what I would like to see done with the transit in Lethbridge, but what in your mind is needing the fix?
So the problem with transit systems is most of the studies and what our planners are aiming for is coverage across the city. They don't necessarily look at where our demographics of our ridership are, who they are, and what they need to be doing. Mm-hmm. So most studies, when you go and do a literature review on transit, you'll find are for metropolitan-sized cities. Well, we have maybe two of those in Canada. So our transit problems here in Lethbridge are also seen around other parts of Canada as well. Mm-hmm. And we have very small populations that are spread out. So you have a very expensive transit system that has to be in play. And it's this continuous cycle of, well, we have decreased ridership, but to put in the ridership, the transit that people want to see, it's going to cost a lot of money. So then we have to raise the cost, but then that reduces our ridership because the people who need it can't afford it. And it's this continuous cycle that I was like, hey, how do we break this, right? Mm-hmm. And so So that's kind of where my study comes in, is that we know who our ridership is in Lethbridge. So why don't we see where they live and compare that to where they're currently seeing the usage of those demographics as well. So I know that some of the other people who work within the city are also looking at that, which is great. And it's something that needs to be encouraged and included in the plan for the future of transit as well. Mm. So
it's really interesting, actually, to hear that. I would never have guessed that, but yeah, that seems like a smart plan.
Right.
Now, when you talk about transit, do you see Lethbridge sticking solely to a bus transit system?
Well, that's the thing. So, like, it wouldn't make sense to put in a rail system or something like that at the size of a population. It just would be a lot more expensive. But there's always ways to look at different options that we see around the world in different communities and see if there's ways to incorporate those here. You also need to kind of like see if you can work it in with private companies as well. But I like to think transit is more of a, it's kind of a need, right? Like we're servicing a need within the community, and it should be seen as a social program that we support as a city. I think we need to relook at how we're paying for our transit system and maybe consider a completely different model of funding than what we currently have. And I think that would help solve a lot of our problems as well. So.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're kind of going off a little bit topic here, but I think we both find this very interesting.
Yeah.
What kind of funding is there for transit in Lethbridge right now?
Okay, so most of it is paid out of tax-based money, either through the city is paying for it, or we have grants from provincial or federal government as well, which, I mean, that comes from tax money as well, right, in the all honesty. There is some revenue that is collected through advertisement, and then there's, of course, some revenue that's collected through the rider passes and stuff. So, but the problem is like what we're garnering back from advertisement and ridership is really a very small fraction of the overall operational cost. So what we need to maybe look at, though, is looking at it in a completely different system and light than as money being taken from the tax base and just applied. Why are we trying to get this money back, right? When we know what our demographics are, it's the people who can't afford other or are unable to drive for whatever reason are the ones who are using our transit system. They are also the ones who tend to work the more labor jobs, a lot of the retail jobs, stuff like that, that don't necessarily pay enough for people to be able to manage vehicles properly on their own, right? So if we are able to offer better transit systems that other people can also use by looking at a funding system that's more along the lines of the way we pay our utilities or something like that. So as the city grows, we're also getting more money coming in to help with the expansion of transit. Then I think that's something we should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. I went to school in a city where the U-Pass was something that was readily available and part of tuition. Why didn't that, or did it not work in Lethbridge, or was it voted down for some reason? Why
it was voted down twice. So I was actually a student for both times it was voted down.
Okay.
I'm lucky because as a grad student, we actually voted it in. So I currently have a U-Pass as a grad student. However, the undergrad students don't. And that's because
I was a part of that vote, and it bothered me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted it to go through. So.
Yeah. And this is the thing, though, is we actually had very low voter turnout at both votes. So the no people actually won, even though I think the majority of the student population wanted a yes. Mm-hmm. And this is why voting is so important and actually getting out and taking the time to vote on no matter what the subject is, whether it's for U-Pass or for city council or provincial or federal politics, right? When we have lower voter turnout, we really aren't getting what the majority of people really want to be seeing. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do believe the U-Pass will be coming up for referendum again and up for vote again for the student population. And I know that City Council has agreed to support it. And I'm pretty sure that most of anyone who gets elected into the new City Council would also still be supportive of it. And I think that's a great step and we should be looking at that. However, students aren't the only ones who are having financial problems in of being able to afford the bus passes. So I think we really need to be re-looking at our costs of ridership altogether. So.
Mm-hmm. So just to jump away from the transit conversation, I know over the campaign that I've heard a lot of candidates talk about the youth and student retention within the city. And I think it's something that is part of your platform as well.
Yes, it is.
So what does that look like for you in terms of a plan? Like, what do you suggest or how would you like to go about keeping younger people and recent graduates in the city?
Yeah, so that's not my area of expertise. It's not the area I study. However, being someone who's in that demographic who right now is searching for a job, most of the jobs I'm applying for are unfortunately outside of the city. I would love to stay, but the actual permanency, full-time jobs that are actually willing to pay me what I should be making aren't here in Lethbridge. And so I think we really need to be, as a city, looking at how we can attract the businesses or promote their businesses that would help keep the young professional demographics that we're training here in Lethbridge at the college and the university. Part of that is upgrading our infrastructure so that data companies and stuff can come in and actually be able to function within our city. I know a lot of people talk about encouraging entrepreneurship, but realistically, it's only a very small percentage of the population that can be successfully good with entrepreneurship. There's a lot of people who just don't want to be owning their own businesses, and I think we need to be making sure that we have the jobs available for people who just want to be an employee and work and stuff. So unfortunately, I think a lot of the problem with Lethbridge's current system, and part of it is also what companies can afford too, is that a lot of places are only hiring for 6 months to 3 year terms. Well, if I have the option of applying for a job that's permanent full time elsewhere, I'm probably going to be moving there, right? So mm-hmm. I think we need to be working with the companies that are currently in Lethbridge to find out how we can do more youth professional retention. But we also have to be looking at how to attract the companies that can offer the jobs to our like computer science and science students, as well as our management and nursing and stuff. So our nursing and management students, a lot of them can stay here and stuff through the accounting and nursing and healthcare professions that we have, but we really need to be increasing that computer science and the science jobs as well. So,
absolutely.
As well as the arts. The arts is huge too.
We like to think so. both Ben and I have degrees in arts in one way or another. I have one in performance, and Ben has one in stage management. So,
we
think the arts are a very important part of our city. Just kind of, again, skirting away from that, we have a federal government who's moving forward with legalizing marijuana. They say hopefully by July 1st of 2018. Mm-hmm. And the province just released a framework of legislation to purchase and use cannabis in Alberta. How do you think the city will be able to play a role in implementing these new rules and regulations within our city?
Well, that's the thing, is a lot of it is coming down through the federal and provincial legislation. I think in regards, which means we're going to be very restricted in what we can do, because we have to be managing around the legislation that will already be in place. So I guess the biggest thing is just reviewing those, listening to the concerns of the businesses and the people in the city who have more of a background in this and stuff. And I think we're going to have to be petitioning on their behalf to the provincial government for a bit of change in what's already being proposed. So I know, like, there's been talk about cannabis cafes and they're not being allowed currently. And in the current structure, and there's not a lot about edibles and stuff like that. So I'll have to say, like, this is not my wheelhouse and stuff. However, I'm for the legalization of the marijuana, as I believe it will allow us to deal with a lot of societal problems as well in regards to taking stuff off the black market and helping free up some of our police so that they can concentrate on other areas that are more important. But there is like this overlapping of you can't sell it with liquor and you can't sell it with tobacco. And so that's putting a lot of pressure on some of our smaller businesses in town who would have been looking at maybe being able to incorporate some of that within their business. So once again, it's really just listening to the people who know this information more, following the research. There's a lot of other countries who have this legalized already. And so there's a lot of frameworks out there that we should be able to look at and see what has worked and what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So jumping away again, I guess we haven't touched on many arts questions, and our podcast usually focuses on the arts. So we'll get one arts question in there before we wrap up.
Awesome.
I know there was there's been some controversy over a piece of artwork that Lethbridge purchased for its sister city in Saint-Laurent, Quebec. They upped the price this year to celebrate the 150th, and there was some people who were pretty upset with the amount of money that was spent, not only on the piece of artwork, but that it wasn't a local artist and things like that. So Lethbridge is the only city that maintains its formal relationship with their sister city. Most other cities have gone to a method of maintaining the relationship with a volunteer group, so not as much, not as many funds allocated for the program. Do you think this program is something that you would like to see continued, or would it be something that you'd like to try to have pushed away to be more of a volunteer-based type thing?
That's a good question. I guess it would depend on what the art community wants. This is their wheelhouse. I mean, we're always going to be having relationships with our sister cities, and the art, I didn't even know we did an art thing for them. That's pretty cool, actually. It's unfortunate that it wasn't a local artist, though. But that's what I mean. Like, perhaps if there was more say from the local art community within that stuff, we would we wouldn't have these issues so much. But in regards to the funding, I think that really comes down to what the people in the city want, right? Like, things are always changing. Things are always costs. So if there's a way to fund things in a different way, then perhaps, but still keep it going, then we have to always look at considering those. That being said, too, we also need to make sure that our art continues to be a part of our cities, because that's what helps people dream the bad times, and it's what provides community spirit. So it's something that always needs to be supported.
Absolutely. Well, just talking about supporting arts within the city, our city currently gives 1% of the community CIP towards art acquisition. Just curious what your thoughts are about that type of funding, or do you think it should be a variable funding like that, or should it maybe be a bit more of a permanent financial basis with like a set amount each year?
Yeah, that's difficult to say without looking at what the history of all of that is, and I don't have the history on all of that. So to me, it's something that should always be reviewed, because as cities grow and develop and things wear down and break down, there might be some years where we need to be making sure that more money is going into our infrastructure so that we actually, you know, have water pipelines that are working and roadways, right, and stuff. But at the same time, we always want to be making sure that we're able to and the stuff that keeps people within our city, and keeping people in our city is making things artistic and having that cultural side. If we don't have that, really, what's the point, right? So it's finding that balance, and I don't know if a set amount would help with that, because if we also are setting an amount, that might not take into consideration inflation and stuff too, unless it's a percentage-wise set. But yeah, it's one of those things I'd have to research more, and also listen to the art community more on that, because once again, they have more info on this than I would.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that sounds very reasonable. I always think doing research is a very prudent part of a counselor's job versus just assuming how things should be.
So. Yeah. Well, and half the times what we expect or think is working, once you get in, you find out there was a whole bunch of other things you didn't know about, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, those are all the questions that we have for you today. If there's anything that we didn't touch on that you would like to talk about, or if you have any closing remarks, you can say them now if you'd like.
Well, really, I think I just really would love to have people get out and vote. Our voter turnout for municipal elections has been abysmal in the past, and there's so much opportunity to vote this time. The city has done an amazing job of setting up mobility, buses for voting, and accessibility points at the college and the university, as well as if people are stuck at home, they can actually call the city and set up a time for them to come by to take their vote. So really, I just encourage people to be informed on who you're voting for. Visit our websites. Mine personally is www.watson4council.com. But also, if you're it's a lot of candidates, so make sure to check out lethbridgeaccountability.ca. They've done a great job of putting together a collaboration of 42 questions that candidates had the opportunity to answer. And yeah, I hope people get out and vote on October 16th or before that, one of the earlier voting polls.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule today and away from all the scotch. So we will let you get back to that, and thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye. Well, it was great to talk to another young candidate about their perspective, another master's student.
Yes, two in a row.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, and of course, transit is a huge issue for people of Lethbridge, so...
I never thought it was possible to do your master's degree on specifically Lethbridge Transit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't know.
She's,
yeah,
that's
she was looking at the master plan and all that, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, yeah, I remember the whole referendum of voting for a university pass when that was up, and people were like... so angry about
why
it. Like,
though
well,
what was the
well deal? You know what if I never use what if I never use it? Well, it's there if you want to, and it gives you an opportunity to, like,
yeah,
well, the hours are crap. Well, if there's more people using it,
the hours will improve.
Yeah, so
that's stupid. I love my UPass.
It was, yeah, and you know, yeah, and there's, and now with like the whole parking fiasco
yeah
that's going on at the university, like it would be great if everyone could ride the bus, because then the people who are like, you know what, I live within the city, I don't need to park at the university.
Yeah,
like,
and even if you use, like, you can use that U-Pass all semester or all
say
month.
If you go to a bar one night,
yeah, it's,
or
it's
want to hang out with
perfect. And what, yeah, you have to use it four times before it makes itself worthwhile, or you've exceeded its cost. Like,
oh shucks. So, and for some people, that's one day. Like when I would go to the university, when I would ride the bus, I would go to the university, but then I end up having to go to work and then having to ride back from work and then back home. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Silly.
So,
well,
no, it's crazy. Anyways, for being such smart people at the university, someone can be really dumb.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Vote for the U-Pass if you're listening.
If you're listening. If you can vote also.
Yeah. True.
All right.
All right. Well,
shall we wrap it up?
We shall.
All right.
You've been listening to Sightlines.
Thank you for listening to Sightlines' special electoral report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.